What the hell was that?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah. Are you there?
We gotta get rid of this kook. I got an idea.
Greatness at its finest.
Welcome to the Rodcast.
Wonder who that could be.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
And hornfm.com.
Is there a problem back there?
With the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Rodcast, Monday, fun day edition of the Rodcast. Hit us up via Twitter at Rod Babers for myself. My man Ray back there representing is at Ray from the 361 in the Twitterverse. You also hit us up on the Specs text line as well, 512-337-3776. Blackstradamus strikes again. We'll get into some NBA news, notes, and nuggets right after the rundown. We'll discuss the new look LeBron's, all right, for the Cavs, and also the big, what I think is a big splash, but it's kind of gone under the radar for the Houston Rockets. We'll get into that too coming up and talk some NBA. Also, I want to go behind the burnt orange curtain. We'll do that next segment. Texas basketball. My friends at Horns 24/7 inspired this take, but they did the defensive comparisons, NFL comparisons for all of the defensive recruits in the 2018 class. So I took that idea and then I said, you know what? I'm gonna compare all of the defensive recruits in the 2018 class based on what I know and what I've watched and what I've seen of these guys and what I've heard. To notable Longhorn football players or all-time great Longhorn football players that you would know. So we'll do that coming up when we go behind the burnt orange curtain as well. And there's still one more recruit that the Longhorns have to get in this recruiting cycle, if you will. And I know signing day is done, but they got to get this one. And we'll get into that, too, when we go behind the burnt orange curtain and talk some Texas football, also some Texas basketball. Johnny Manziel reveals something. There's a revelation on he was on Good Morning. Is it Good Morning America?
Yeah, it was Good Morning America.
Good Morning America. He went on there, had an interview, and revealed something that I don't think surprises anybody. You know, I don't think anybody's surprised. I think people are excited, at least here in Texas, who have heard about Johnny and his exploits, are happy that maybe Johnny's now starting to get some real help about some of his issues. But we'll get into that. We'll talk about that a little bit, too, when we have some time. And Chad Hastings, I believe, will be in here. He's an Aggie. And all Aggies, I'm sure, are a little bit more invested in that story than most. So we'll talk about that with Chad Hastings in a little crosstalk coming up a little bit later on the show. And an interesting existential sports conversation. And it'll probably easily relate to you and whatever you do in your walk of life and all of us. Lane Johnson talked about it. His quote was basically that, you know, the Patriots, he said, are, you know, they're kind of a miserable, I'm paraphrasing, we'll read the quote later, a miserable organization, and people aren't happy playing with the Patriots, and that he'd rather win one championship with the Eagles and having fun the entire way rather than win five championships with the Patriots and be miserable every day. And I thought about that because I'm not sure how I feel about that. You know what I mean? Would you rather win one Super Bowl and, hey, it's just a really good year. It's kind of, you know what I mean? It's just you're riding high the entire time. Everything's great. Sunshine and rainbows. Or would you rather build a dynasty and have to endure, you know, a lot of hardship and misery? And, yeah, I mean, you know, it makes life a little tougher, and maybe you lose perspective a lot of the time, but five Super Bowls. He said he'd rather have the one Super Bowl than be happy. This is a good conversation.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's like the Kobe Bryant kind of thing, too. You know, how he kind of always isolated himself and never really had friends and just worked towards basketball. And
he said
it.
That.
Just worked towards basketball.
It's a great comparison.
And that's all he ever thought of, and that's all he ever wanted to do. He put his family to the side. Everything was for basketball.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it's the difference between being a good player and being a legend.
That's a great. I'm glad you brought up the Kobe, because I remember watching that documentary about Kobe, and he basically said, "I'll never be a great friend, and I'll never be the father that I should be." Like, you know what I mean? That I could be. But the ceiling for me as a father, I limited myself because I'm so obsessed with basketball. Mm-hmm. I'm so obsessed with being great. And there's only so much of you as a human being you can devote to all of these different aspects of your life. And I'm devoting as much as I possibly can to being a great basketball player.
Yep.
And, yep, you know what else suffers? Me being a great friend. Me being a father. Me being a good husband. That all suffers. And it does. And that, I think you see that across all aspects of life and not just sports. But I agree. Kobe is a great – I think Tom Brady, to me, you watch that YouTube – is it YouTube? Facebook. Is
it Facebook? Facebook. Yeah, it's
Facebook. The Facebook Tom versus Time documentary. You'll see in that documentary, and you can see glimpses of it, and they're fleeting and they're quick. But that Tom Brady – hanging out with his family, being a father and being a husband, that is actually sacrificing for him because he'd rather be in the film room. He'd rather be at practice. He'd rather be in the weight room. He's actually like going out of his way to go, you know what? I gotta go be a dad. I'm freaking. I'm doing way too much, but being the GOAT of football, I gotta go be a dad. I gotta go be a husband. You know what I mean? Like and it takes away from him, and you can tell he has that inner conflict, that cognitive dissonance. Like, I know it's taken away from me being a great ball player. But what are your priorities? What matters in life? You know what I mean? He has those moments like, all right, let me go be a dad. I need to go do this. But he'd rather be. Just focusing on football, practicing, hitting weights, watching film. And that's why he's the GOAT. But there's a price to be paid. You can't just be the GOAT and have everything go right. If you want to win 5 championships, inevitably, there's a price to be paid. I guess we're getting into the conversation right now anyway. But all right, that later on. Maybe I'll ask Chad about it too. Okay, we got a lot to get into, so let's dive right into it. Quickly, we'll run through all the headlines you should know in the rundown.
These are the top headlines of the day. It's time for the rundown.
The rundown is always brought to you by our good friends at Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. TopGun.net with 2 N's is where you find out more about Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. All right, the medal count. Now, in total medals, Norway is currently winning. In total medals at the Winter Olympics, they got 9. But they only got 2 golds, and he or she who has the gold, that too actually wears the crown. And Germany right now has the most gold medals. They have 4 gold medals, 1 silver, 2 bronze. They got 7 total, but the most golds. So right now Germany, in terms of the count, the actual point system, they are leading in medal count. The Netherlands also has 7, but they only have 3 gold medals, so they're second. Norway, as I said, they're third. They have 9 total. Canada has 7 total medals as well, but they only have 2 gold medals, so they are fourth. And the United States of America, USA, 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 they are 5th currently. 2 gold medals, 4 total medals. Behind them, France with 3 and Sweden with 2. Japan also has 3, but they have 0 gold medals, so they get no respect. The gold medals are what matter. I haven't looked at the point system, but you can see how significant the gold medals are when you look at the medal count, total medal count.
Definitely. Yeah. So in NFL news, we touched up on this a little bit here, but Frank Reich is going to be the Indianapolis Colts' new head coach out there. It looks like it was just announced Sunday after Josh McDaniels ended up reneging his deal with the Colts to be their head coach. They went after after the actual Super Bowl winning team's offensive coordinator. Looks like they wanted to stick with the offensive heavy mindset. Great pickup for Andrew Luck. We'll just see what other pieces they're able to put around him in order to make the team a little bit better. You know what's funny is that the Colts GM said that the rivalry between the Colts and the Patriots is back on. You think it was a little FU or a little jab to go after the Super Bowl winning team's OC?
Well, I think, yeah, that's a good one too. I mean, I think also, you know, there's a lot of deeply rooted angst between the Colts and the Patriots.
Yep.
So, you know, you got some added stuff there, Deflategate and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know exactly what was on the table there, but no, I mean, I think it's a natural, kind of the natural cycle of coaching that when you have a product like the Eagles that ended up winning the Super Bowl in such a obtuse fashion, taking the road less traveled with all of the losses they had and with the kind of offensive creativity they did it with. I think teams are going to go, I want that.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is why teams – it's a copycat league.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what you say all the time. It's a copycat league. Yeah. So you know they were going to have to go after a lot of these coaching staff.
They want that. People want – they want to know. They want an insider as to what happened with that Eagles franchise.
Yeah.
I need somebody who was there and saw it happen so we can replicate it. Mm-hmm. You got to tell me what did y'all do? What happened? What did y'all do with those quarterbacks? What did you do? I mean, because – and I think that's what Frank Reich can bring to the table with the Colts, because they want him because he's kind of a quarterback guru himself, being an NFL quarterback. That's also, I think, what John DeFilippo, who is the offensive coordinator now for the Vikings, who's the quarterbacks coach there. People just want an insider because it was such an amazing story.
Yeah.
I mean, people just want to know how they did it, because a lot of people are projecting that there's going to be some longevity to that. Yeah. Like this is not just an aberration, that the Eagles are here to stay. They ain't going nowhere.
And, you know, I feel like it's very similar to the Doug Peterson hire for the Eagles, because it was kind of a nobody. You know, not really nobody, mm-hmm. but he's not one of the highest guys on the market. Like, he wasn't really in much demand.
It's a great point. It wasn't sexy.
Exactly.
It wasn't a flashy hire, but it was the right hire.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Something that actually was pretty flashy, Yu Darvish got a 6-year, $126 million deal with the Cubs. So that free agent, that stagnant free agent market for Major League Baseball is starting to pick up a little bit right around the corner. You have spring training. So that actually was one of the biggest free agent signings so far this year. Yu Darvish, 6-year, $126 million deal with the Cubs.
Yep. And yesterday, the Dallas Mavericks were in Houston taking on the Rockets. Rockets got the win, 104-97. James Harden had 27 points. Chris Paul had 25 points, and Clint Capella had 16 points and 11 rebounds for the Rockets. The Spurs will actually be in Utah taking on the Jazz tonight.
All right, good news for Lifetime Longhorn and Houston Texan Deontay Foreman. Reached a favorable resolution, apparently, with the court on his charges that stemmed from the marijuana and gun charges on his arrest in Austin in July, I believe it was, the last year. So apparently his attorney, Chip Lewis, said that they reduced the charges. He pleaded no contest. They reduced it down to a single misdemeanor count of disorderly conduct for making unreasonable noise, because he did have a permit for the gun. The gun actually was registered, and the marijuana was not his. So he's actually, you know, ended up being able to have those charges dismissed. And as long as he abides by, I think, you know, 90 days, he doesn't get in trouble or have some other type of issue, all the charges will be dropped against him. So good news for Deontay Foreman. And I know the Texans really like that, too, because he's a big part of the future for the Texans.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So in NHL news, the Vancouver Canucks went into American Airlines Arena yesterday on a 4-game losing streak, ended up getting the win 6-0 against the Dallas Stars last night.
All right, that's the rundown brought to you by good friends. Oh, and Texas basketball tonight. They play Baylor tonight, Texas basketball. So we'll talk about that a little bit more when we go behind the burnt orange curtain. And that's the rundown brought to you by good friends at Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. TopGun.net with two N's is where you find out more about Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. Okay, I've been saying this for a long time, and now people are starting to jump on the bandwagon. I got a really comfortable seat on that bandwagon because I've been there for like a year. I've been saying LeBron James is coming to Texas. He's coming to Texas next offseason. Like, when he becomes a free agent. Like, I don't know if he's going to the Spurs or the Rockets, but he's coming to Texas. Bovada, all right, the wise guys in Vegas, released their odds on what team will LeBron James play for game one of the 2018-2019 season. Ray, who do you think is number one on this list? Numero uno on this list.
The Houston Rockets.
Houston Rockets. All right. Best odds right now to land LeBron James. I see the Cleveland Cavaliers are actually number two. Lakers are number three for you, Ray. Warriors are number four. I don't see it happening, but it could. We've talked about that on the show as well. I don't know how the hell the Pistons are at five, tied with the 76ers, but they are there. And San Antonio Spurs at the bottom of the list, with the seventh best odds to sign LeBron James. That's that small market thing, but they don't know how much LeBron loves pop.
Yeah.
They're both wine connoisseur. LeBron loves some pop, and LeBron needs to win a title. And with pop, he may have a – pop is like a – He's like on the Mount Rushmore, essentially, of all time great NBA head coaches. So he is basically like playing with a top five player in the league, just having accessibility to the brain.
Definitely.
Pop. You know what I mean? And if Kawhi comes back healthy, game changer, LaMarcus Aldridge, that kind of thing. But the Houston Rockets, like I've said, and I've been saying the Rockets are the front runner. He's coming. And speaking of the Rockets, Joe Johnson, and Joe Johnson was I don't even know how Joe Johnson is just so under the radar because nobody's talking about it. Joe Johnson is going to be bought out, apparently. And he is apparently the reports are that his people are saying he is going to sign with the Rockets for a prorated minimum exception. And Joe Johnson, seven-time All-Star, who is awaiting the buyout after being traded to the Sacramento Kings in a three-team trade. He played with D'Antoni in Phoenix, and he says he's going to sign with the Rockets.
I like that. I like that pickup, man. That's a great pickup for Houston.
They didn't lose anything, and they gained Joe Johnson. Now, they got to waive some guys because they got, like, 14 guaranteed contracts on the team already. So they got to waive. They may waive, like, a Tariq Black or a Troy Williams or a Chinanu Onuwaku. But those are guys that aren't really playing a pivotal role. Joe Johnson can play a pivotal role for the Rockets. Man, that's huge.
Yeah, that could be a big time for them, especially with Joe Johnson going over there. He doesn't have to be the guy, you know? He can sit at the corner and shoot threes.
That's it.
You know?
He
doesn't really have to do anything.
He's, like I said, seven-time All-Star. He's made $215 million in his career. And so he's not concerned with money anymore. I think he's ring-chasing now. Rockets barely beat the Mavs last night. It's really brought up 104-97. They're 8th straight win, but... Man, you keep adding talent to the roster of the Rockets. I don't think they're going to beat the Golden State Warriors. But like I said, if they can entice LeBron James to consider them the best option and plus him to beat the Golden State Warriors, then you might have something working. So, yeah. Bovada agrees with Black Stradamus that he's coming to Texas. At least he's coming to the Rockets. Yeah.
You know, you seem so dead set on the Golden State Warriors winning this year. I don't know if it's a for sure thing, man.
Oh, Ray, really?
I don't know if it's a for sure thing. I can see the Rockets pulling it out.
No. Well, yeah, anything could happen. The year of the underdog, I guess. Look at the Philadelphia Eagles.
They're not really an underdog, though, if they win the season record.
7 games against the Warriors?
Yeah, but...
7 games.
I mean, I got to check it out, but I don't know how many games they are behind the Warriors in
a half a game.
They could actually get home court advantage.
That changes everything. If they get home court advantage, I'll agree with you. Then it would be a different conversation for the Rockets because then you still have the game 7 on your floor, and then you have the advantage. I agree with you on that. I don't expect them to get that. I keep my expectations low for the Rockets, but I should raise them because you're right about that. And LeBron James looks like his team, the new look LeBron, since we're talking NBA, that they're going to represent the East. This is how LeBron James has performed since the trade. And we said the trade was all about re-energizing LeBron. You just want LeBron happy again. Happy, you know, the happy wife, happy life thing. Happy LeBron, then you got a chance to get to the championship. That's how it works. All right, and we have always seen, and we know it for a fact, LeBron James take a bunch of Jags and scrubs, all right, and a couple of good players and good shooters to the championship. He may not win it, but he can take some Jags and scrubs there. He can do it. He's been to 8 NBA Finals, 7 straight. He can do it. He's done it with the Stars, but he can do it with the scrubs too. And I'm not saying these guys are scrubs because Clarkson and Hood, I think they combined for
32 points.
Yeah. 49 points between all the new acquisitions. Clarkson, Hood, Hill, who played 21 minutes, had 12 points. Nance Jr., who I think he had 5 points in 20 minutes. I mean, 23 minutes for Jordan Clarkson with 17 points. So the bench is better. They're deeper. LeBron's happier. And now they look, 121-99. Don't forget, Boston had the best defense in the NBA.
Yeah.
And they went and embarrassed Boston in Boston right before the Paul Pierce jersey tribute ceremony. And they were, I think they scored 64 points by halftime. It was unbelievable. So LeBron James doesn't need a long time to kind of turn this group around. And right now, I think they're still like, yeah, I think they're the best team now in the East. The East was always kind of a toss up between three or four teams anyway. Boston, whoever LeBron James is playing for, you know, the Raptors could make a run at something. You know, I mean, like, there, it's not a lot of teams in the East that you can put your trust in, like, confidence in. So, yeah, I it's really remarkable what's happening. But I will say this, the Cleveland Cavaliers, remember, they tried the super team formula because they wanted to go all in to see if LeBron James could actually beat the Warriors if they brought in, you know, D-Wade and Isaiah Thomas and Derrick Rose. The super team formula didn't work for them. It actually imploded. It had the opposite effect on chemistry. It was one of those things that was more of a, you know, it was detrimental to the product instead of accentuating the product. So they decided to scrap everything, overhaul, start from the ground floor and say, let's just get really good role players around LeBron James. No ball dominant guys like D. Rose and Isaiah Thomas who need the basketball. No, LeBron James needs the basketball. He'll make the right basketball decisions. Let's put the right role players around him. And George Hill had a great quote. He said, George Hill says, he's Batman and we're all Robins. There you go.
I love it.
You know what I mean? You had a couple other guys who wanted to be Batman on another team. You know, it was Isaiah Thomas and D. Rose and LeBron. He can take that team to the finals. He's not going to beat the Warriors with that team. And I think the first attempt at getting D. Wade and D. Rose and Isaiah Thomas and all those guys was an attempt to, best case scenario, contend with the Warriors. And I think now they've said, you know what? Scrap contending with the Warriors. Forget that. What we're going to do is, we're going to try to get to the finals, get LeBron James to his 8 straight finals, and then we can try to keep LeBron James for next season. I think the priorities now have changed for them. I think they know they will compete for the title. I think before they thought they were going to win the title with that group. No, they're just going to compete for it. And I think LeBron James's happiness is the number one priority for them now.
Yeah, and you could see it in his face, man. He was ecstatic to play happy with these new players last night. I think Jordan Clarkson hit like a three in transition, and LeBron went crazy on the sideline. So you can tell he's loving what he's got right now.
Happy LeBron, man. Happy LeBron will get you to the finals, even with some guys and scrubs. He'll get you there because he's just that good. Like, that's how dominant he can be. Is he going to beat that basketball, you know, monstrosity out there on the West Coast of Golden State? Probably not. I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if he's got that kind of talent. But it is the year of the underdog. Okay, we come back. I have advice for all the guys out there. Man talk advice for all the guys. We'll get into that. Also, we'll go behind the burnt orange curtain talking Texas basketball. I will compare the defensive recruits in the 2018 recruiting class to some notable lifetime Longhorns or all-time greats for the Longhorns. We'll also get into this Johnny Manziel story a little bit as well. All of those things and more right here on the broadcast. This is The Horn, 104.9 and AM 1260. Yeah. All right, welcome back to the broadcast. You can hit us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. Real quick, before we get behind the burnt orange curtain, talk a little Texas basketball game tonight coming up versus Baylor. Before we talk some Texas football, too, I'll make my comparisons in that 2018 class on the defensive side of the ball. I got to ask Ray a question. Because Ray's probably like me and like most guys out there, that it's, that it's Monday and Wednesday is Valentine's Day, and they haven't actually cemented their plans and what they're going to do.
Definitely not.
See?
Definitely not. I have a few ideas.
You got ideas. You got to wing it.
Yeah, I've got ideas. I just got to figure out what I'm going to do.
There you go. And guys, and I'm just having this, you know, we're going to have this talk. So that you guys will at least, I'll plant the seed and you'll go, yeah, you know what? Maybe I'll devote the entire day tomorrow to making sure I get it done. Because you don't want to wake up on Valentine's Day, that feeling you wake up on Valentine's Day, and you ain't got a damn thing ready to go. All right? Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's a terrible feeling. It's scary. All right? Don't do it. Don't do it. Trust me. It's sad. Don't do it. All right? So, guys, you still got tomorrow. And I am in the same boat with you. I'm not saying I'm better than you. I'm not at all. Ray is in the same boat, too. I know it. Well, you ain't done a damn thing yet. tomorrow. Start thinking some ideas tonight. Get creative, whatever. The weather is bad because I always said Austin's a great place to take a woman and, you know, or anybody, significant other, whatever, and have a good time because the weather is so great. You know, especially during Valentine's, you can have cheap dates because you can go do really cool stuff outside. You know what I mean? Like, I'm big on taking, you know, I was taking women on dates to fly kites and picnics, like, because it was, not because it was romantic, it was cheap.
But to them, it's romantic.
Dude, I go buy some Chick-fil-A and go buy a kite and Toys R Us or something. Dude, done. Great evening. Oh, he was unbelievably romantic. We had flew a kite and had Chick-fil-A. Nope, it was cheap. All right, cost me like $30 total. The whole date, you know what I mean? Like, and Austin's great for that. And you can still, I'm sure, find a great place in Austin for cheap dates. But I'm just saying, start thinking about. And it's during the week; it's in the middle of the week, so you really got to get creative. You ain't got a lot of time, you know, to take her out, that kind of thing. You may have to cook, whatever. I'm just reminding guys, and guys are. I know my friends are always like, man, it's such a slanted holiday. You know what I mean? It's all about the ladies. All about the ladies' holidays. You know what I mean? With the Valentine's Day, it's not about. Actually, love is what the theme of the holiday is supposed to be, like Valentine's Day, like love, period. Mm-hmm. It's more about love towards your significant other, specifically the female gender.
Yep.
And guys have a problem with that, and I do not at all. I think that's the way it's supposed to be. Because I'll tell you what, guys don't understand, for 6 months prior to Valentine's Day, football has really dominated your life most of the time. And you it goes under the radar, but unless your woman's a football junkie like you, which is usually not the case, Saturday is college football, Sunday, all day Sunday is football, and those are your weekends. Like, during the week, most people are like, I'm tired, I got stuff to do, I'm coming home late, I got to run around and do this. And during the weekends, when you're supposed to be spending quality time, you're watching football for like 6 months. And that's why I think... And this was not actually something that I'm sure they thought about, but now that's why I think it actually is slanted, and it should be. Because I think most relationships are slanted for half the year because of football season now. So the ladies, this is when the power shifts back, all right, and then the balance comes. Because you get to hang out with your friends, there's tailgating, you're kicking it on Saturdays, on Sunday, at least in my relationship, because football is such a big part of the season with this job, all that kind of stuff. And then the balance shifts back, and then you get the proper scales there, all right, in the relationship. Mm-hmm. That's my theory. So don't be upset about it, because you've dominated that relationship, if you're, you know what I mean, most of the time, because you've gotten your way about watching football. Monday, oh, I got to go watch the Monday Night Football with the guys. All right, Sunday, bam, hanging out, boom. Hey, I got to go watch Texas or do whatever. You know what I mean? It's slanted most of the time. Now the balance shifts back. All right?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Boom. That's my theory on it. I could be way off about it, but that's my theory.
The one thing about Valentine's Day that bothers me right now is that it's on the 14th of a month. And if you're not getting paid on Fridays, you're usually getting paid on the 1st and the 15th.
That's what makes
it's a day right before payday, usually. I'm going to start a petition. You know, they need to push it back a day.
Push it back
a day. Or 15th or 16th. You know, because usually on the 14th, I'm waiting for the next check. I'm waiting for the 15th come around.
That's why you got to be creative. why you think I was going to picnics.
I'll
still write a love letter. It means I'm broke. All right. She's like, oh, that was so romantic. He wrote a love letter and mailed it to me. Like, no, I really was broke. And it was just the most efficient way, or at least cost effective way, for me to do something romantic. All right. So that's my theory, guys. Don't be upset about it. Get it done. I know you're in the same boat with me and Ray. And I agree with Ray. 14th. Like, come on, man. The 16th. Like, that makes way more sense than the 14th. 14th, we all, and you're broke kind of from the holidays still.
Mm-hmm.
You're still dealing with the holiday, you know what I mean, like costs and all that stuff. And then right about the time you get on your feet, boom, Valentine's Day hits.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, and then you have the Super Bowl parties and stuff. Trust me, I feel you. All right. I'm just saying, guys, don't ignore it. Get it done. All right. And Valentine's Day is big in this country. We need it because, I mean, people assume that couples are hooking up on Valentine's Day, that they're, you know, they're getting down and getting busy. Do you know that sex in America is decreasing? People are having less sex in America.
Really?
Yeah, it's a new study that says Americans are having less sex. Americans who say they never once had sex in the past year is rising. They said teenagers are having less sex than, you know, back in the 90s and the early 2000s. Yeah, it's one of those things where they said marriages are affected because there are less people getting married, less people having babies, that kind of thing.
I blame social media.
Whatever it is, you know what I mean? I agree. I blame technology, yep. And I think you just have now more avenues for entertainment. Back in the day, when television would go off at midnight, like literally it would go off and go beep.
Yep.
Like, it was like, oh, I got nothing else to do. All right. You know what I mean? Like, that was it.
Yep.
Right? You didn't have anything to do. You know what I mean? Like, hey, we do it. Now you got, you can go online and you can go social media. You can go look at some adult entertainment if you wanted to. All the other, no. Back when it was just limited entertainment, boom. Hey, that was the most entertaining thing you could do. Now, it actually may not be. It's like, hey, I got this. I got to go watch Game of Thrones. I'm going to binge watch the whole season 3. Like, yep. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's just more things to stimulate us, and maybe that's a big part of it. But football is also entertainment. So on the weekends during football season, when you're supposed to be spending quality time and maybe getting it on, the two-back beast, all that kind of stuff, you're watching football instead of spending that quality time, also contributes to the decrease in sex in America. Boom. Parents are like, hell yeah, my team, teens are having that's great, great job. But it's actually supposed to be bad for the country.
Hey, it probably also has something to do with the obesity, the rise in obesity, too.
No,
you ain't working out, man. You ain't getting that workout.
You know what? It is not a one. You're right. There are a lot of different factors to it. No question about it. Yeah, I agree with that, too. No doubt about it. All right, that was a random rant. I went way farther than I thought I'd go with that one. But there you go. You get the idea. Go off of Valentine's Day and do something nice, and you still got time. You got like 48 hours. All right, let's go behind the burnt orange curtain. Let's do this.
And they were all asking themselves the same question. What is behind that curtain?
All right, let's talk real quick. Let's talk some Texas basketball. Earlier this season, I said that the Texas basketball season cannot be a failure. And I stick with that. Because they're going to win more games than they did last year. They're a better team than they were last year. So it's not a failure. But I did say for it to be a success, it's all about how they did in the tournament, them making the tournament. And now, after back-to-back losses, that's actually a question. Well, no, they'll make a tournament. Well, they should make the actual tournament or the NIT. You know what I mean? Like, you want to make the actual tournament. So that's – I'll agree. Like, I still wouldn't call this season a failure, but – yeah, you want to finish strong, and this team may not finish strong. This team reminds me of the Texas football team in so many ways. I mean, it is like it really they're like mirror images. You know, great defense, elite defense, but very inconsistent. Will often lose to teams that they are better than. Playing to their opponent, whether it be Maryland for football or Texas Tech, and then not finishing strong, but then coming back. You know, really good character of the team, but. Man, they're so flawed. You know what I mean? Like, it's a heavily flawed team. And the loss to, TCU, they were actually able to score. They were shooting efficiently, but the defense, which is usually the strong part of this team, which is usually the strong suit of the Texas basketball team, that's what was inconsistent. That's what failed for him. Even Shaka said, we didn't get enough hands on loose balls. We didn't hustle enough. He actually questioned the effort of the team in that game. So, yeah, I mean, They need a lot of different things. Mo Bamba is still, in my opinion, just trending in the right direction. Some people would question how he's utilized and that kind of thing. I think he's trending in the right direction. I like what we're getting from Mo Bamba. I really do. I think offensively he's progressing. He's still a baby. I think people forget that. You're just going to have him for 1 year, but I think people in their criticism of that just forget that, man, he's still a baby. But that tonight is a must. I hate to call it a must win for Texas, but it's a must win. What are they, 5-7 now?
It really is.
Play? It's
it really
a must is. Win. Like, they got to win this game. If they don't win this game, then we're going to be talking about the NIT pretty much. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the way it looks, and that's the way it's trending. So, all right, we'll talk a little bit more basketball. We'll bring my man Chad Hastings on for crosstalk. I want to get into some Texas football discussion. I did this because I saw Horns 24/7, a great piece by them. I think it was EJ Holland, if I'm not mistaken, who wrote up a piece and compared he was doing, some scouting comparisons of the defensive recruits in the 2018 class for Texas, comparing them to NFL players. And it was really good. I, go over there and check it out. Horns 247, they do really good work. So I said, I'm going to take that concept because I like it, but I'm going to compare the players to notable lifetime Longhorns on the 40 acres or all-time great Longhorns and who they compare to. And so looking at, Keandre Coburn, the defensive tackle, I think is pivotal for him. you know, his ceiling would be a big hemp, but I don't think he's that disruptive. Big hemp is a freak of nature. I think he's more Roy Miller. True nose tackle, of course, can be over the ball, but can demand a double team when he has to, can be disruptive. You know, Keandre Coburn isn't even, you know, I think he's a true nose tackle in one in that respect, but I don't know of how disruptive he can be. So Roy Miller was damn good and had a great NFL career too. So making these comparisons, I don't want to disrespect anybody. I don't know if he's big hemp level, but Roy Miller I think is a fair comparison as a true nose tackle for Keandre Coburn. Moro Ojomo, who is the 16-year-old defensive lineman, the other D tackle in this class. I know it sounds crazy. And he's 6'3", 280, 16, so he'll redshirt. I'll compare him to Lamar Houston. I know it sounds weird, but Lamar Houston, he was 6'3", 275, and he was a DN that switched to D-tackle for Texas. And Moro Ojomo looks like an undersized D-tackle, a disruptive D-tackle, which is what Lamar Houston was. His situation and his position changed once he got to the league, but at Texas, that's how he was utilized. Daniel Carson, the 6'5", 260 defensive end. Man, I'll throw out there Cedric Reed, who was 6'6", 270. You know, physical freak, tall, long, lanky. I would compare him to Cedric Reed, who also got an NFL shot, was really productive his latter years on the 40 acres. Mike Williams, who's the athlete. He's 6'2", 240, played quarterback and offense. They don't know how they're going to use him. They've thrown out linebacker. I'll compare him to DeMarco Cobb, who was 6'2", 220, but a hell of an athlete. And they really didn't know how to utilize him either, so they classified him as an athlete, played linebacker at Texas. But I think if you're looking for a comparable skill set, DeMarco Cobb is one. Just a hell of an athlete, period. You got to find some way to utilize him. Joseph Asai, the defensive end, who was 6'4", 220, or outside linebacker, pass rush specialist, however you want to say. He's 6'4", 220. You know, Sergio Kendall was 6'3", 250. I don't know if Asai is going to get that big and bulk up that much, but you're talking about a premier pass rusher. That's what he does best. And I think you're looking at a guy in a similar mode like Sergio Kendall. He was a thoroughbred. You wanted him going straight ahead. Asai is a guy you want coming off the edge. Byron Hobbs, who's 6'3 and a half, 216. Go back and look at a young Manny Acho for Byron Hobbs. Manny Acho was like 6'2", I believe, like an inch smaller. But if you want to look at like a skill set comparison, don't know if he's of the football IQ of a Manny Acho, but I like that physical comparison. Adeyi Adeyi, the 6-foot inside linebacker prospect who came from IMG. Dede Lewis, I played with, who was 6'1", 241, played for the Seahawks for 3 or 4 years, middle linebacker. I think it's a really good comparison. Jumping to the DBs, Anthony Cook, he's a technician, is what I'm told by the defensive back coach at Lamar High School. He's 6 foot, 170. You know, I think you look at, I know it sounds, Raymond Claiborne was 6 foot, 186. He was a technician, great at man-to-man coverage. Terrell Brown is another more modern comparison of a guy who was really, really good as a technician to man-to-man coverage. I would have compared him to myself, but I wasn't as tall as Anthony Cook. Terrell Brown, Raymond Claiborne were longer. Jalen Green, remember Taji Allen. If you're looking at a guy for Jalen Green, compare him to also kind of a man-to-man specialist. B.J. Foster, I compare him to Brian Westbrook. B.J. Foster played running back in high school. Jeff Howe said he could have been the best running back in the state possibly if he just played running back and didn't play DB. He was still one of the top three safeties in the state, 6'1", 188. Brian Westbrook was 6 foot, 199, also played running back in high school. He was physical as hell. I think Brian Westbrook's a really good comparison for B.J. Foster. Caden Stern, 6'1", 192. I know it sounds crazy. Old school Longhorn fans will remember this. I think he reminds me of the Sheriff Stanley Richards when I watched him on video. You can throw out Kenny Vaccaro as another comparison to Caden Stern. Can be a ball hawk, can be very versatile, cover the slot, also play middle field. The sheriff was an old school reference, but Kenny Vaccaro, if you're not as old school and you're more of a new school guy, Deshaun Jameson, also from Houston Lamar. I compared to Nathan Vasher, who I played with, maybe the best kick returner in the state right now. Coming to Texas, he plays the nickelback position really good. Nathan Vasher was an All-American as a safety, also as a cornerback, also the best kick returner that I ever played with. I think he's the best punt returner in Texas football history. Nathan Vasher, Deshaun Jameson, I think is a really, really accurate comparison. And DeMarvion Overshown, love to say the name, 6'4", 200. I would compare him to Lance Gunn. Lance Gunn, 6'3", 222, a beast of a human being, all right? And a hell of a human being, too, because I know Lance Gunn. I think DeMarvion Overshown kind of is thrown in that category. Freak of nature. You can use him as that hybrid linebacker slash safety. And I think Lance Gunn was before his time, that big nickel that people talk about now in their three safety package. All right. So we'll go to break here. We'll come back with a little crosstalk. We'll talk some Johnny Manziel with my man Chad Hastings. All that and more when we return. This is the Ridecast right here on the Horn, 104.9 and AM 1260. The money turned into a monster. The money turned my noodles into pasta. The money turned my tuna into lobster. All right, welcome back to the Ridecast. Time to get a little crosstalk in. Got my man Chad Hastings here. What's going on, Chad? How are you, brother?
Howdy, howdy. How was your weekend?
It was damn good. How was yours?
Yeah, it was good. I had a lot of stuff going on, but it was a fun weekend.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend. The post-football weekend, spending time with family.
Yep, a little family time. Yeah. Kids trying out for softball, in quotes, because there's no real tryout. But they had like a tryout, and it got cold, and so I was out there being a parent and
there
proud,
you go, bro.
Shivering.
Oh, have you got your Valentine's Day stuff out of the way? That's one question.
We are taken care of, yes.
Okay, there you go.
Taken care of.
I got two things I want to ask you about really quickly. Lane Johnson, a tackle for the Eagles, said he believes the Patriots run a fear-based organization, and he says that, not to be reckless, he said, but I'd rather have fun and win one Super Bowl than be miserable and win five Super Bowls. Would you rather? Because, you know what? I think I'd take a little misery and the five Super Bowls, because something like that is forever. And as a man, I think men always want to leave their legacy. I'll take the five Super Bowls and the misery rather than the one Super Bowl and to be, you know, joyfully in bliss all the time.
I'm going to go the other way because I'm a big happy fan.
You're a big happy fan.
When I was in high school in ninth grade, they made me fill out, when you grow up, you want to be blank. And I just wrote the word happy.
There you go.
And the teacher got mad at me. And he's like, well, what does that mean? I said, I'm not sure yet, but I just want to be happy.
There you go.
And so I'm a big believer that happiness is really, really important. So I understand what he's saying. Having said that, he needs to shut his mouth. It is stupid comments. It is insane comments to make. Stop. Just enjoy your ring. Enjoy your parade. But don't say stupid things like that. Of course the Patriots are a fear-based organization. The fear is, if you don't play well, we get rid of you. And sometimes if you do play well, we get rid of you. They are what they are.
Yeah.
Just enjoy yourself. Why do you have to insult the other team on the way out the door?
And it breeds a result, too, which is championships. Oh, no. I'm a fan of misery, though, I guess. I love that movie.
That Oklahoma water makes you crazy. Lane's been north of the border too long. It's freaking him out.
Let's talk about your Aggies real quick. Listen, Aggie. Mm-hmm. Johnny Manziel says he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. He went on, was it Good Morning America?
Yep.
And said that. Very interesting. Honestly, I'm not surprised, and I'm happy he's getting help. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I'm glad that he's medicated.
Diagnosed,
I was really interested where they filmed it. They filmed it at A&M, inside the facility there. So that tells me that he's still welcome there and that part of the family
Good
is still
point.
Embracing him. I was really glad to see that. Glad to see him at the basketball game. I'm rooting for him. The football part is way out in front now.
Agreed.
That's not what I'm worried about. I just want him and his fiance and his parents to be happy. He's finally realized what he's been doing to his family all these years.
That's true, too.
It feels like there may be a realization there. So I hope he stays on the meds, and I hope he keeps it clean, because I love him to death. I want him to be able to come to that stadium and throw his hand up in the air, and we scream our heads off for years and years and years.
Yeah, even Longhorns are rooting for Johnny. All right, Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn coming up next. Ray, great job as always. I want to tell you folks out there, remember, the Revolution will not be televised. We'll be talking about it right here on the Ridecast. Everybody have a great evening. Love you guys. Peace.